meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good Thursday, right?
Yay.
It's good Thursday. Where's Geraldine?
Yeah, she's coming.
There she comes. Come on. I told you to get in here.
I'm coming.
I tell you, you know what? I was thinking just a little while ago, within the last hour, that this would be a good reality show. I'm not talking about the radio per se. I'm talking about, well, part of that too, but
the
life in the parish.
Yeah,
it really would. That would be, you know.
Nobody would watch it.
Never.
Yet people would.
Never a dull moment.
Because people. Hello.
Hello.
I can't hear
myself.
Can
you hear me now?
You can't. It's good. But anyway, can you hear yourself?
I can't. Well, anyway,
I can hear you.
I can't hear. Okay. I'm losing
you sound
my hearing.
Your voice sounds just fine. Okay. Nick's coming to the rescue.
Oh, it's probably the sound over there. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
No, we're okay. Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
okay.
I said we can hear you.
We can't hear anything else but you.
Because the volume was all the way down.
You can hear yourself now? Are you happy now?
Yes.
Feel good now?
You got that beautiful voice coming through those...
I need to hear that sound, the sound of music.
I can hear my voice.
It's like the sound of music.
Reality show, I tell you, really, it could be. But anyway, you know, so I had to tell you what happened to me. You know, by the way, this is Father Anthony, I am. And you're listening, well, we're not going to take a break right now. This is the Winds of Change that we're coming to you from.
It's kind of windy in here, isn't it?
It is. We're coming to you from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy here at St. Stanislaus Kostka in the heart of Chicago, under the beautiful backdrop of the Chicago skyline. And what I really wanted to say is I am your brother, and I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, okay? Does that make sense? Do you understand what I said?
Yes.
Not too fast, okay?
No.
I don't know my problem today. But so here's what happened. So, and it has been a wild morning, and Jerry, you just kind of added to the craziness of the morning, didn't you?
You know what it takes me back to?
What?
When I was at work, I never had any privacy. Yet I was expected to deal with all my people, handling all kinds of details, some of them intimate details,
right.
And no privacy. So
right. It
put me back in that space today. Here I am.
You. Woe is you.
In the pit, yeah.
And so you drag us all down with
why
you.
Not? Why not?
Why not? I'll go willingly.
No, you know, Jerry, but one day, and I'll never forget this, that it's how God puts everything in it falls into place, because you said, you know, we could all at times be in a bad mood, space, like I was the other day. But we're not all at the same time. So we lift each other up.
Yeah. Right,
so when somebody's
right.
down,
then thank goodness.
So that, thank God. Yeah. Thank God.
I don't
God
feel
that,
so
yeah.
lonely now. I'm always in a bad space.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you said the other day you were in a bad space, Christina, I think I thought you were every day in a bad space too, you know?
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah. Well,
now.
All right. Anyway, so what happened to me? I had to tell you what happened to me today. So you know, the time changed, what, about a month ago? You know, we fall back.
Right after Halloween, yes.
After Halloween, after Nick's feast day.
Yes, feast day.
Nick's feast day. So, you know, I didn't change my clock and my watch. My watch. Now I have to say that the alarm clock changed automatically, you know, and it wasn't
Thank
supposed
goodness.
To. Well, I didn't want it to, because I wanted to have an hour extra sleep, and
or but
no,
you
I
did.
Want, no, I mean, I wanted to get up an hour earlier. I wanted to have an hour extra
to do whatever.
Oh, okay.
And it thinking that, you know,
would automatically.
But it's one of these modern things where it automatically.
It does it. Turns, automatically.
You know, yeah. It's got its own.
Automatically.
It's got its own brain. But anyway, I didn't change my watch. And every so often I look and I say, you know, one of these days I'm going to forget that I didn't change my watch.
Uh-oh.
So today I was in the chapel as I spend time in the chapel before the show. So I had been working all morning. It'd been a very stressful morning. People were adding to my stress, namely
Tony?
She who sits across from me, not Tony. But,
okay.
That's on an everyday basis for me.
So anyway, so I'm in the chapel and I'm preparing for the show, you know, and then I hear somebody, the accountant, outside the in the corridor, outside the chapel, and he's asking somebody, well, I don't know, where he is. Where is he? I'm looking all over for him. You know, I figured he's looking for me, so I open the chapel. Is he looking for me? He says, yeah, I'm looking for you. So I said, okay, so I said, if you ever need me, you know, I'm here in the chapel, or I'm in the office, one of the two places, so so this will go in the office. But I'm looking at my watch, and I'm thinking, oh, I've only got a few minutes before the show. And so he's got serious things to deal with, you know, when we're dealing with finances, we're dealing with rather serious things, you know. And so I'm trying to rush him through this because I got to get down into the studio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so finally I had to cut him off, and I'm running down into the studio because I'm just looking. It's already looks like it's about 2 minutes after 12. And then I come in, the door's locked. The door's locked.
Nobody's here.
I said, what happened? Nobody's here. And then I looked and Nick's not there. So the door's locked. And I said, what time is it? You know, and it was happened to be an hour earlier. It was 11 o'clock. So it was wonderful because then I had all of a sudden this extra hour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thinking that I was going to then make better preparation for the show, and I didn't. So anyway, but here we are. So it's good to be back. Good to be back. Anyway.
Yes, it is.
So,
oh, yes.
So today is a feast of St. John of Damascus. So we got a few things we can talk about today, but today's, let's start with the Feast of St. John Damascus, because it was interesting. I was reading a little bit about his life today, and interesting because he was called the Golden Speaker. That's actually what his name, he was called the Golden Speaker, streaming with gold, and lived in the 7th century. He was a Syrian monk and a priest. Born and raised in Damascus, and he died at his monastery in Marsaba near Jerusalem. But what's interesting is, and this guy is you know, the saints come in all sizes and shapes and colors and personalities and all that kind of stuff, thank God. No cookie cutters here. By the way, you might want to mention, Christina, you're watching that that series, talk about real life TV.
The Sisterhood of the of Becoming a Nun.
Of Becoming a Nun. And speaking of people, what did the one of the sisters was saying that
about the women living in community?
Yeah. What'd she say?
So funny. She was so cute. I like that nun. She's very wise. But she said, you know, it's not easy for 35 women to live together. You wonder, you're just wondering that, you're just surprised. You're amazed that there hasn't been a murder committed
in the convent.
Inside the convent.
So they've got these, five young girls, young women.
Who are discerning.
And so it's a real life TV kind of thing. We were watching a little bit of it yesterday, wasting time, you know.
It was my fault.
It was Christina's fault. Because, and it was kind of interesting, you know. And
yes.
All the different young women are of all different personalities, right?
Yes.
The California... the one from California, and she was really
California,
typical Californian, I guess, stereotypic, you know, I guess.
And then you got one from the Bronx, New York, so tough.
Another stereotype.
Tough with long fingernails.
Yes, the orange.
Bright orange.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny, and as they had to
they were
change
spending...
into these clothes, you know,
yes.
Not the nun clothes, but the... A kind of uniform, you know.
Yeah, the uniform.
Of a postulant, somebody who's in
discernment.
Just
simple clothing, as opposed to some of what the other girls were wearing.
And they were, it was shocking to some of them, and then they had to take the makeup off.
The makeup, and that was a major issue there, with the makeup, and then not having your cell phone with you, that was another.
That was a major,
that was a tragedy for them.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. The first day, everybody was happy, all the girls, oh, nice to meet you, and once they start...
Getting to know each other.
Oh, they were at it. And I'll never forget, there's a saying, you know, people seem normal or they seem nice until you get to know them, and it's a whole different story.
Well, it can go two ways, all right? For sure.
Mm-hmm. It could go two ways, yeah.
But you get to know somebody. Well, I mean, nobody's perfect, so you get to know their little issues. Yeah. Like, we all have our issues, so.
Right. Some have more issues than others.
yes, definitely. Yes.
Anyway. But it's true. It's part of that is, you know, and even in religious life, as the sister said this, but any time, and it's in family as well, you know.
Sure,
you have to work through each other's rough edges, and those rough edges have to be refined. And what did the... did I ever tell you the story? You know, I mentioned this to my spiritual director when I was a young seminarian, and I was complaining to him about this person and that person, and how did this guy get in, and how did that guy get in, and you know, basically complaining about everybody, you know, that living under the roof of that seminary. And he said, you know, he said, okay, let's just suppose that everybody was perfect, everybody was the way you wanted them to be. He said, okay, so we'll just assume that everybody is perfect. But he said, the moment you walk through this door, this place will cease to be perfect. Because you have brought into this place your own imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Well, that humbled me.
Oh, yes.
So that night I went and I packed my bags and I was ready to leave, you know, and all that. So.
I thought he was going to say, and so how did you get it?
Well, basically, that's what he said.
In a way.
But, you know, directly. You know?
Yeah, no, yeah. He was very...
He's being nice about
diplomatic
it.
Diplomatic about it, you know, before he...
But even, like, the sister, when the girls started having their issues, and she said, you know, it's not about you.
Right.
It's never she been. Said, it's oh, not no. about... It's about God. Not. Mm-hmm. It's not about us.
Yeah, it was interesting. One of the girls was complaining, or she was... grieving over the fact that that she had her issues, her problems.
Oh, her brokenness.
Her brokenness. Yes. And the sister said, you know, honey, she said, I don't know if she said honey, I'm sorry. sweetie, no, she said, we all have our issues. We're all broken.
We're all broken. You're not alone in
Who's
this.
Who's not? Who's mm-hmm. not, you know? Life is a challenge, you know. But I tell you, this is, and it, as they speak about their own experience, the sisters who are more... Right. Matured, refined, and even the young women were speaking about the joy and the beauty and the simplicity and the freedom. They lived with such freedom and all that. But they, each of them, or a couple of them at least, they spoke about their own purgation. You know, coming. Well, you feel in your heart that God is calling you.
Sure.
But to respond to that call means you've got to leave behind many things, many good things. Many good things, as is the case with any kind of committed life, right? The possibility other doors close and this door opens, and that means sacrifice. And you got to be willing to make the sacrifice and to experience how, by the grace of God, things are not only purified but transformed. One's life, one's life, and so that they grow into this. Let's just say loneliness becomes solitude, and God. You grow in relationship with the Lord. You come to know Jesus. This is very beautiful. Interesting, you know.
Realism
there.
She even said, you know, she was meditating on how the girls, when she, each one saw the, how they came and they flashed back to when they came into the convent, and they're thinking, I remember I went through the same emotions.
Exactly.
And she said, I prayed to God. I asked him to give me the grace to transform me into the sister, the nun that he wanted me. And she said, 35 years later, I still ask him the same thing, just to keep transforming me. And then I recall another sister, she said, you know, every day I pray to God I ask people to pray for me for my conversion every day.
The sister said that. Yeah.
The sister, I pray for my conversion. And she tells people, pray for my conversion.
Yeah. And she said something too in that regard. And we'll eventually get back to St. John of Damascus. But it's kind of part of this because I want to say something about him. But it's because I think we can all relate to this. I think this is the reality of our life, you know, and that we be open and not be afraid of the transforming power of God's Spirit, but we do have to let go of a lot of good things. But the sister was saying that in the same, within the context of what you were saying, that she was wanted to be a good Carmelite. Mm-hmm. And so she says she's still asking, you know, the Lord to make her. She still doesn't feel that she's grown into the Carmelite, the charism and this kind of transformation to be. And I know that on my 25th anniversary as a priest, I was in Rome. I didn't have a big celebration. I had a very simple mass at St. Peter's with nobody, nobody there. Of course, the Lord was there, and Our Lady was there, and I trust the saints were there, and
the angels.
And yes, exactly.
The whole celestial court.
So, I mean, you can't ask for more than that, you know. No. And that happens anytime. But I mean, the point was, I didn't want to have a big kind of celebration or anything. I just wanted to quietly celebrate my 25 years, you know, but I remember writing, because I wrote reflected on those 25 years, and every day, it's just the same thing, you know, Lord, make me a priest, you know. I remember being in I went to this Congress for priests. It was the year of the priest, by the way. It happened to be the year of the priest in Rome. And I went to a Congress, and there were all these the priests. There must have been about 500 priests. Wow. And they were all dressed in their clerical garb, and many young priests. And I remember being there, and of course I listened to there were many of the cardinals who were speaking and all that, and it was really profound. I mean, it just gave me a whole different new insight into the intelligence and the wisdom and the depth of, you know, so often they're criticized, right, the episcopacy or those in leadership, you know. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it was so profound. And I remember being there, and I remember thinking, gosh, I would love to be, I'd like to be one of these guys, you know. I'm not talking about the cardinals, but just the other guys that were there. There was just something very, very beautiful, very wholesome, very, and very manly about these guys too, you know. Yeah. And it was very, and just, I would like to, you know. And I thought, but I am. I am. Right. This is who I am. Yeah. You know, but the thing is, yeah, I think it's God keeps us rather humble, I think, in many ways. If we stay before Him, we put ourselves before the Lord, then we have to see ourselves, and we see our defects, and we see where are the rough edges, and where do I need to grow. And it is a work of a lifetime. And that's a sad reality, because you sit there and you look back. If I could have known this, or if I would have learned this, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. But it's just the way
it is. But it keeps, it keeps us humble.
Keeps us humble.
And it keeps us close.
Well, we would hope that we're humble. We're saying we're humble, but I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying.
But it does humble, you know.
It is humbling.
It is humbling. Very much.
And I think that's what's what's hard sometimes is. I think the hardest thing is to look at oneself, you know. That's why it's hard to come into the light, because you come into the light, you know, then your deeds are exposed, right? We see where we need to be defined. But there was another point that I was going to make, and I don't remember what it was. So it was probably not that important.
Come back. I was thinking about rough edges. I should come equipped with sandpaper, because that would be, you know.
Well, let me just say
hand it out to people. Well,
that's true. Let me just say this about you. is that you are like sandpaper. And so we're all being refined, you know. And
you're, by being next to you.
Well, you're trying to say that we're saint makers, right?
Very abrasive, yes.
We're saint makers.
Yeah, so Jesus said, you know, he said, where two or three are gathered, there I am in your midst. Mm-hmm. So God is there. But the reality also, the flip side of that is that where two or three are gathered,
chaos.
No, Satan is there as well.
Oh, you know?
So we can become each other's best friends, or we can become each other's worst enemies, right? And the key is, without God, we could easily become each other's worst enemies. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about, you know, the four or five, or, you know, those of us that are here. I'm just talking about as we interact, as we make our way through life in the company of one
Even
another.
Even ourselves, we are our worst enemies.
Oh, yes.
Could be.
Yeah. You're always getting in the way.
To ourselves. Could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Right? All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll talk about St. John of Damascus. Because he was, talk about somebody who had it all. Mm. He seemed to have had it all. And I'll explain that when we get back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change, in AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to spend a holy hour for life at Divine Infant Parish,
where Father Loya will be the homilist Friday evening, beginning at 7:30, December 12th, and be transformed. Also, be immersed in the sacred music of the Eastern and Western traditions sung by the Ecclesia Choir. A monstrance will be used, blessed by St. John Paul II, courtesy of the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. The Holy Hour for Life, Friday, December 12th, beginning at 7:30. Divine Infant Parish, 1601 Newcastle, Westchester, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Today is a feast of St. John of Damascus. This guy, he was a monk. He actually had basically two professions, if you want to call it.
Wow.
Professions. He was two careers, can I say. He was a civil servant for the caliph in Damascus, and the other was a priest and a monk. So this guy was, what's interesting is he knew Islam very, very well. And but anyway, he was a lawyer, a theologian, a philosopher. He was gifted in music. I mean, he had all kinds of talent, very talented. And he served as the chief administrator to the Muslim caliph. What do you say, caliph or caliph?
Caliph
of Damascus before his ordination. And there's some speculation that his grandfather had surrendered the city to the Muslims.
Mm. Oh.
His grandfather. That's what I read. A certain Arab governor of the city who surrendered the city to the Muslims, probably John's grandfather. And when the region came under Muslim rule in the late 17th century, the court at Damascus retained its large complement of Christian civil servants, and John's grandfather was among them, as well as later his father, and then he himself. It's believed that he also was, a civil servant for the caliph in Damascus, but eventually he became a priest and a monk. But he studied the Quran, and he, very critical. It was his father's desire that he learn not only the books of the Muslims, but also those of the Greeks as well. And so he had, a lot of knowledge of the Quran, and very critical, harshly critical. And so I thought it was very interesting when the Pope, of course, he had to be very prudent and very careful, because Pope Benedict was very, very out there and open and honest in a very intelligent and I would say diplomatic way. But he, you know, you just say something that's going to, you know, he stated a reality about the violence that is inherent in Islam, in the writings of Islam, and he was criticized all over the world for having said that. But he was basically quoting, I forgot, somebody from the Mid Ages or something like that, Middle Ages, whatever. But when Pope Francis spoke of the religion of peace, Islam, and he made reference to the peace that is there communicated via the Quran, I thought, well, that's just not the case. It's not true. It's not true. So I stand here to correct the Holy Father, who am I to correct the Holy Father? But I thought,
well,
it
he's
was,
human. He's,
well, he is, and but I do think it's. I think, you know, it's there's a great fear on the part, sure, of people today to say just about, you know, we have to be so careful. Mm-hmm. People are so super sensitive.
Sure.
You know, unless of course you're talking against Catholicism or Christianity. That's mm-hmm. That's a whole different
right.
But it's interesting, pregame, Father, right? That you mentioned Pope Benedict, that he quoted someone in the Middle Ages. A lot of the saints from back then in the middle, they said themselves about Islam that there was a problem with Islam.
Well, there is. I mean, yes. Even
and they said it themselves.
Even if, I mean, this is just a historical fact. If you look at the life of Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, these are his writings. You know, he can say that he's dictating what God has said, Allah. But it's from our perspective, and again, you wouldn't dare say it, but mm-hmm. I'm saying it. You know, Muhammad is projecting on God his own stuff, whatever it is. You know, because this isn't, and this is. Where when we say, you know, this violence, and the Pope did say this, there's no justification for this kind of violence. And even if we've been guilty of, there's elements of violence that have visited the life of the church down through the ages. I mean, this is part of the distortion, part of the perversion of Christianity, part of the, some of it is the... Can you even say the immaturity mm-hmm. on the part of mm-hmm. believers as we,
oh, yeah.
because each of us is kind of a microcosm of the church. And so as we're talking about our own need for purification, for transformation, for sanctification, the church is a holy church. I mean, she's immaculate. She's holy. Holy Mother Church, only insofar as her life is hidden in God. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has given a special grace to preserve and protect the truth as it's been handed on mm-hmm. to us, so that there not be this perversion. People, on the other hand, individuals, even bishops or priests, as we all know, we well know it today because it's mm-hmm. always constantly kept before us, you know, the deviant, those who deviate, mm-hmm. those who distort, those who can pervert, those who can water down, whatever mm-hmm. it might be. So even the Pope, he's the vicar of Christ, and he has a responsibility to safeguard and protect what has been handed on. Again, he hasn't the authority to change what has been entrusted to the church, the truth. But as an individual, he can say things, you know, and they can certainly, things have taken out of context, or things can be. You certainly wonder, you know, what does he mean, or where is he coming from, or. Or was that taken out of context? But he did speak about the violence as there's no justification for violence, and there is this call not heard quite strongly from within Islam itself, but to what would I say to reconstruct. You know, we have to be very careful because many tried to deconstruct the Christian faith mm-hmm. from within. And this is the great danger we have is when people from within, especially those who may be priests or could be bishops or religious, you know, when they begin to attempt to destruct or to deconstruct the church. This is the insidiousness of this is how... the demonic can work in a very subtle but very dangerous way to deconstruct what has been handed on. And you see this in being played out in all the major religions of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a protection. Jesus has promised the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so the truth will prevail. It'll be and not only will it prevail, but we come to a deeper understanding of who we are. I was just writing in preparation for the third week of Advent already a letter, but in this letter, and I'll share it with you next week perhaps or the week after, but probably next week because we have the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, mm-hmm. the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, but trying to communicate, to convey this teaching of the Church. It's an infallible teaching of the Church that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived without sin. You know, what does that mean? And what are the implications of her Immaculate Conception? It's really it's quite beautiful. It's very profound. It's almost impossible to grasp. It's one of these mysteries that is almost incomprehensible. and yet not so. You know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the point being that I deviate here a little bit, but as I'm looking at John of Damascus, who spoke, he knew the Quran, he studied the Quran, and as a man who was converted to Christ and of the faith, he was able to speak with intelligence and with knowledge of the inherent evil within this, that it is a deviation from, or we would call it a diabolical deviation mm-hmm. from Judeo-Christianity. Christianity comes right out of Judaism. They're, you know, the Old and the New Testament, they stand side by side. We can't understand the New without, delving into the Old Covenant, right? This is all this is revealed for us. But when we get into the Quran, we're talking about a major, major deviation, and the justification for violence is written into the book, basically. So the hope is that the people who espouse Islam would there has to be some very serious reconstruct mm-hmm. The teaching so as not to reinterpret so as not to take in a literal way mm-hmm. the call to jihad to the diminishing of women, the annihilation of a people. So when we talk about the religion of peace, yes, peace when people come, put themselves under the dominion of Allah as conveyed or communicated through the religious writings, but the writings of the Quran. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so when the Pope mentioned that, I kind of took issue with that. I thought,
that's a stretch. Father, you've seen on people, testimonies of people, that Muslims that converted to Christianity.
Right,
and who
exactly.
were very immersed, they were very devout to Islam, and they themselves said, you know, when we had that conversion and when we came to know God for who he is, how good he is, how can they realize, you know, this is not the God that we were taught in Islam. This right. is not, this is a loving God, and this is not what they're teaching us.
Well, this is the, even the son of the head of Hamas, the leader of Hamas, is a convert mm-hmm. to Christianity, and his testimony is very, very powerful. But he, in converting, he had to completely separate himself sure. From Islam, or from the family,
sure.
from his family. And that was, it caused him, because he loved us. These are good people, you know. Yeah. It's not that they're... When I was in Rome for the year, one of a family that I was very, very close to was a Muslim family. They're beautiful people, you know. But like many Catholics, you know, not fully immersed in their own teachings
and
writings.
They don't really know the faith. It's like, like you said, they're not immersed. They're not really deep into the faith. Just superficial side of just...
The dark side of the faith. Mm-hmm. But there is a call to virtue and all that.
Sure.
But it's anyway, that's we're deviating a little bit. But on this feast of St. John of Damascus, it's very interesting because he knew well. And we should take we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and just look at his some of his writings. You know, he's just very beautiful about it as he speaks about himself in relationship to God and in relationship to the church. So we'll be right back. And Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen and Support on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of three innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the three men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the three innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image, as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to spend a holy hour for life at Divine Infant Parish,
where Father Loya will be the homilist Friday evening beginning at 7:30, December 12th, and be transformed. Also, be immersed in the sacred music of the Eastern and Western traditions sung by the Ecclesia Choir. A monstrance will be used, blessed by St. John Paul II, courtesy of the St. John Paul II Eucharistic Adoration Society. The Holy Hour for Life, Friday, December 12th, beginning at 7:30. Divine Infant Parish, 1601 Newcastle, Westchester, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're celebrating, the church celebrates today, the feast of St. John of Damascus, who was a priest and a doctor. He was a monk. And he, and in his own writings, you know, I say it's very nice to read from a saint's their own writings. Somebody else may write about them and can really embellish their life or their holiness. It's certainly their holy people. Even the Pope was saying today, the Holy Father, about the, you know, there are saints, hidden saints among us, you know, and we might get a chance to look at that as well. But anyway, in St. John, in his own writing, he says, "O Lord, you led me from my father's loins and formed me in my mother's womb. You brought me a naked babe into the light of day, for nature's law always obey your commands. By the blessing of the Holy Spirit, you prepared my creation and my existence, not because man willed it or flesh desired it, but by your ineffable grace. The birth you prepared for me was such that it surpassed the laws of our nature. You sent me forth into the light by adopting me as your son, and as you enrolled me among the children of your holy and spotless church. You nursed me with the spiritual milk of your divine utterances. You kept me alive with the solid food of the body of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son and our God, and you let me drink from the chalice of his life-giving blood poured out to save the whole world." This is beautiful when you think about this. You know, we're going back to the 7th century, you know. "You loved us, O Lord, and gave up your only begotten Son for our redemption, and he undertook the task willingly and did not shrink from it. Indeed, he applied himself to it though destined for sacrifice like an innocent lamb. Although he was God, he became man, and in his human will became obedient to you, God his Father, unto death, even death on a cross. In this way, you have humbled yourself, Christ my God, so that you might carry me, your stray sheep, on your shoulders. You let me graze in green pastures, refreshing me with the waters of orthodox teaching at the hands of your shepherds." So you see how this relates to what we started. So see how it's interesting how things kind of come around. Doesn't it relate to what we were talking about? Is, you know, because we look at ourselves, if we stand in the light of God, we see ourselves as very much in need of God's grace. Mm-hmm. We are strayed sheep, that we need to be carried. We need to be carried. And that we are called to trust and to be obedient to our shepherds, imperfect as they are, even as I made that a humble criticism of the Holy Father for having said what he said. You know? But anyway, he is the Holy Father, and I have utmost respect for the office and for the man. I do. I just think he needs to be a little bit more prudent, that's all, you know, from my perspective. Who am I to say? But anyway, you pastured these shepherds, and now they in turn tend your chosen and special flock. Now you have willed me, Lord, by the hand of your bishop to minister to your people, because he becomes a priest and a priest. He doesn't become a bishop. Lord, by the hand, let's see. "I do not know why you have done so, for you alone know that. Lord, lighten the heavy burden of the sins through which I have seriously transgressed." See, the saints, they understood themselves to be great sinners. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know, I talk about the saints hidden among us, ask anybody, you know, "Have you gone to confession?" "Oh, no, what do I need to go to confession for? I haven't killed anybody, you know." That's good, you know, but those who, you know, live close to God, who spend every day in the light of God, they're very much aware, right? That's why it's a persevering humility, and that humility means I come before God. So, Lord, this is, as I've said this so often on the radio, but this is what you got to deal with, you know. This is who I am. And I guess it goes back to what the sister was saying, right? That, you know, or what I would say of myself, and I say that in all honesty, because you know, I I don't. I feel like I haven't. I'm not there. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be. I say I look back and I went, ah, geez. By the way, so this is my cousin. We were exchanging emails this morning, and my cousin Ken. Sometimes he listens to the radio, so maybe he's listening. But anyway, so he made a very constructive criticism. You know,
I saw that.
You saw that?
Yes, I saw that.
So we're not going to go into that. and so I wrote back and I says, you know, Ken, I says, you know, anytime, you know, feel free to. I'm just telling him, not any of yous, no, nobody out. But I said, no, challenge me, you know, because I'm struggling, you know, to try. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to misrepresent. I don't want to. I certainly want to be the kind of priest that God wants me to be, you know, and do people justice. You know, I don't want to lead anybody astray, and I want to represent well the teachings of the church. And so he wrote back, and he said. He was being very nice. He said, "You're gonna have this wonderful mansion in heaven, and I'm gonna have this little shack. And I hope you'll invite me into the mansion." But I haven't had a chance to respond. Well, I am now via the radio. But I hope and pray that I have a shack in heaven, and I'll be happy with that. I'll be happy with a little shack because I certainly have no. I know at this point in my life, I'm not in any way deserving of anything more than that. But I say that in reality, and you know,
and that's for all of us, Father. We all say, "Boy, do I have a long, long, long way to go." In sure. comparison to the goodness, how God is so great, how good He is.
Exactly, I think it's knowing that goodness, mm-hmm. knowing that His God's goodness, and how God has so blessed us, mm-hmm. and also, you know, to see goodness in others, and maybe. You know, we're all aware of what's going on inside of ourselves, you know. So, mm-hmm. as you said, somebody said early on that when you meet people, you know, yeah, we can all be the best of friends, but then, you know, spend a little bit of time, you
know, a few days,
a few months, maybe a year or so, and you begin to see the rough edges. I mean, with Jerry, it only takes 5 minutes, you know, right? But anyway, so the point is, and even in saying this, I'm not saying, you know, that, okay, we're saying we're saints because we're saying, the fact that we admit that we're sinners doesn't mean that we're saints.
No, I'm not there yet.
But I'm saying that the saints would recognize that. Mm-hmm. So we're on the right path, you know, that we're able to see, we're able to recognize that we need God. As I say, I have to humbly come before the Lord and say, Lord, purify, as St. John of Damascus says here, literally, he says, purify my mind and heart. Like a shining lamp, lead me along the straight path. I ask that of the Lord every day. I'm always asking that, not in those same words, but I always say, Lord, show me the way. I say it on the radio all the time. Lord, right now, show us the way. Show us the way. Show me the way. When I open my mouth, tell me what I should say. Well, I should be praying about that. I should be asking that more often, shouldn't I?
or I tell God, can't help me to just keep my mouth shut.
I keep asking God for that too, you know. In your regard, exactly. No, I'm just.
Yeah, thank you for your support.
No, I'm joking. Actually, no. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Seriously, no. I do ask Him. Please give me the grace to just be quiet. Just keep my mouth shut.
No, we do. Miracle today, right, Geraldine?
Yes.
Because we had that little incident in the vault today, you know. And,
that little tiny incident.
Making me crazy, she was, you know. Just anyway, it's a long story. Not going to go into it. But then a little bit later, I came down and she's laughing and she's you know, with the very person that she had.
There was no bloodshed, so that
exactly.
It's always a good thing.
And so the accountant said, "You see, she's happy." And I said, "I'm a miracle." I said, "I pray for this every day. I pray for this every day." So God does hear our prayers, but. Anyway, when I open my mouth, tell me what I should say. By the fiery tongue of your spirit, take my tongue, make my tongue ready, stay with me, and always keep me in your sight. Lord, or lead me to pastures, Lord, and graze there with me. Do not let my heart lean either to the right or to the left. This is interesting, too. He writes, St. John of Damascus, do not let my heart lean either to the right or to the left, and let your good spirit guide me along the straight path. Whatever I do, let it be in accordance with your will, now and until the end. And you, O church, are a most excellent assembly, the noble summit of perfect purity, whose assistance comes from God. You in whom God lives, receive from us an exposition of the faith that is free from error to strengthen the church, just as our fathers handed it down to us. So it really kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's a very beautiful writing, isn't it? That saint of St. John of Damascus. So
poetic. It's beautiful, but it's very deep.
It is. And by the way, we had yesterday, the readings of the day are so beautiful.
They are.
But we had St. Bernard yesterday. Did you catch that?
I did.
Yeah, it was beautiful about the three comings of Christ. You know, we've talked about this often. I think I spoke about it the other day, but I knew it was going to come into the season of Advent. And sure, and it, here it is, 3 days into the season, and it's here. But he speaks about the three comings. We know that there are three comings of the Lord. The third lies between the other two. It is invisible, while the other two are visible. In the first coming, he was seen on earth, dwelling among men. He himself testifies that they saw him and hated him. In the final coming, all flesh will see the salvation of our God, and they will look on him whom they pierced. The intermediate coming is hidden. In it, only the elect see the Lord within their own selves, and they are saved. In the first coming, our Lord came in our flesh and in our weakness. He took on our flesh. In this middle coming, he comes in spirit and in power. In the final coming, he will be seen in glory and majesty. And because this coming lies between the other two, it is like a road on which we travel from the first coming to the last. In the first, Christ was our redemption. In the last, he will appear as our life. In this middle coming, he is our rest and our consolation. And of course, the reading goes on and on, but that's very beautiful, right?
Yes.
And if we would just have the humility to go to him and rest in him, mm-hmm. and let him be our consolation. And as we heard Sunday, he is the potter, we are the clay. So we allow him to fashion our lives, that we be that pliable clay in the hand of the potter. It's just a beautiful thing to come close to God and to be nurtured in the life of God. But it's a nurturing, it is a purification, it is a transformation, and it is sanctification, so that we can be true ambassadors, true disciples with authenticity, that God can be made present to others, right? This is where we then represent well the church, which is his body, the sacrament that mediates the grace. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We'll see where we go when we come back, so don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change at AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to his people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm
tired.
You're hanging in there, right?
I can see you're trying to just stay awake, you know, that bothers me.
I've been working late, so yeah. I don't want to miss this hour.
Yeah, even if you have to sleep through it, it's okay.
I have to sleep.
Poor guy was watching it. No, he works all night.
Out.
It's amazing you make it here every day, you know.
Yeah, it is. See.
It's funny, too, because at a certain time at night, because I've worked at night, if it's like 1 or 2 o'clock, then I can't sleep. Yeah. It's like the clock is.
You mean even if you're not working?
Right.
Or if you're not at work.
Well, see, no. I usually work till midnight. Oh, so okay. If I don't come home and like kind of relax a little bit, then I'm ready to go to sleep. Sometimes 1 o'clock, sometimes 2 o'clock. But if I work till 2, 3 o'clock, then I'm up. I have to force myself. Yeah. The tea doesn't work sometimes. It's just kind of.
Well, stay awake.
I'm trying.
That's the summons in this season of Advent. You know, alert. Be alert. Be attentive. Vigilant. Be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Be watchful. You know, Nick was nodding his head, so he obviously he knows what.
The feeling. Recently, you know, with my work schedule, I know exactly how he feels with that.
See, I don't know how this man does it because he's always. I don't work anything compared to him. But
well, I don't think anybody does.
He's young. He's
right.
He's
maybe
young.
That's what it is.
He's my young. Father did the same thing years ago when I was a kid too. So he did the similar ordeals, or even before I was born, but. You get used to it, and there are some days where I feel like I'm going to go crazy, but I hang in
past there. Past that stage, right?
But like Tony, I try to go home and, you know, just have a little time to relax.
Exactly.
To just unplug before I got to go wherever next.
Yeah. Well, we got to look for those little ways that we can have a little bit of respite, like playing solitaire and all that, right, Geraldine? You know, you do that.
Right, so. That was so jumpy yesterday, I had to do that.
Yeah.
I had to.
Yeah. So, no, God gives us a little bit of a respite. Mm-hmm. In a healthy way.
Like they say, I'll get all the rest I need when I'm dead.
Make up for lost time, right?
Yeah. I started to feel that way.
You know, there's always the purgation that happened, you know, comes in a few. That's why we have to be open to the purgation now. Let it be purged now so that, you know, we can.
Better now than later.
Better now than later. Which is, by the way, an act of God's mercy, right?
You know. Anyway, even when you were saying, Father, about the shack.
Yeah.
I'm even thinking if I could even if I don't even have a shack, if I'm out in the open.
I could be out in the yard.
In the yard, at least there on the grass. That's good enough for me.
The yard and the shack.
Yeah, well, you got a lot to do to even get that, even that little piece of heaven for yourself, Christina. I'm sorry to say, you know, but anyway, no. You'll have a.
Your house
will be bigger than mine, that's for sure.
I don't know about that. So, I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to be nice here anyway.
So. I know you're trying to be nice.
But, you know, but we have to take heed to what Jesus said today. Now, today's the Thursday of the first week of Advent and the gospel. And there was a commentary on this. I thought it was very, very nice. Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And he says, everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them, acts on them, will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. He said, the rain comes, the wind blows, and the house, the wind blew and buffeted the house, but it didn't collapse because it had a solid foundation, right? But everyone who listens, but the fools are those everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them.
Right.
Will be like a fool who built this house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house and collapsed and was completely ruined. Now, I was reading this one. It's very beautiful, very interesting. Not every store that displays holiday music during the weeks leading up to Christmas plays it as an expression of faith.
No.
Think about this. Sometimes that music is meant to get us to open our wallets, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
That beautiful music in the background.
Sure.
Market researchers tell us that playing the right sort of music at just the right time works mysteriously on consumers and leads them to spend more money. That means the Christmas music we hear in stores may not be sharing the devotion of biblical prophets who announce the coming of Christ as much as it is fostering the financial profits of the places we stop or we shop and stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
After all, there is a real irony. And think about this, in hearing Silent Night played as background music at a store where shoppers are rushing the aisles and fighting with one another for the last computer or smartphone. In this gospel that I just read, today's gospel, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So listening to O Come All Ye Faithful at the mall is not the same as singing it with faith at midnight mass. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus' word is not just something merely to be played in the background of our lives. Our Lord's words must be heard in such a way that it begins to work in us and changes the way we live, mm-hmm. not for profit's sake, mm-mm. but for the sake of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, and that's Jesus Christ. It's very powerful, isn't it? Very interesting.
Oh, yes.
You know, and you think about that, you know. I always tell people, you know, this idea of background music. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go to the movie, you know, it's what really makes a movie when you think about it? What really makes a movie a grand success? Is the background music,
the sound effects and all that.
The sound effects and all mm-hmm. that. Don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know?
I never thought of it, but yeah, especially if there's a movie that's got a good musical soundtrack. You know, mm-hmm. that sends the, kind of, you think you remember the music.
Right. Like, isn't that one of the awards that they mm-hmm. give, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
But the point being is that, you know, we imitate what we see on the on the screen, mm-hmm. right? And much of it is, you know, the tragedy is glorified by the sound of the music, mm-hmm. you know, but in the reality of our lives, there's no music mm-mm. in the background.
No, nope. Not really.
You know, people go through this or that or whatever kind of, you know, if we give ourselves a freedom to be slothful, to be lazy, to be uncommitted, to give free rein to the flesh or to, you know, because, okay, it works on the screen, even if we see the consequences, the damage that is mm-hmm. done, but the music kind of will transform that mm-hmm. into a...
It glamorizes.
Making it somewhat, rather appealing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is even making any sense.
No, it does. Right.
But so that even as you're in the mall and you're shopping and they got this beautiful Christmas music, it becomes part of the... Well, you kind of want it there to mm-hmm. kind of inspire... But the point is, it's radically different when it's sung within the context mm-hmm. of, or listened to within the context of genuine worship, the worship of God.
Oh yes.
But that even apart from the music, the hymns, the carols, it's the stillness of the silence, you know, where the light breaks into the darkness in that little town of Bethlehem, mm-hmm. and there's this, there's a silence. There's nothing more beautiful than that silence. No. You know, that's even the. But by the way, you know, the angels we have heard on high. You know, mm-hmm. they weren't. There's nothing that says that they actually sang. They proclaimed. Mm-hmm. They didn't. Mm-hmm. I'm just put that out there. I don't know why. And I remember reading that.
Interesting.
Boy, we just have a minute, maybe less than a minute. You guys want to.
But it's so true, Father, when you're talking about the background music,
yeah.
that they even have it in the soap operas. When something's like a anticipation of anything that's going to happen, they start playing the music, and then when it reaches a climax.
Right.
But it, like in you were talking about in life and reality, there's not it's not
stark.
That glam. It's dark. It's not glamorous.
Stark.
That's where we have to start mm-hmm. humming. We have to start humming and make our own music.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah. We start drumming.
Drumming. Little anyway. Drummer Boy. My favorite song.
Well, I think we're just out of time mm-hmm. here, and we're not making any... We got to... Oh,
no,
I was
no,
going to
no.
say we got to kill some time here. So.
No.
All right, everybody. Be alert. Beautiful be music. Watchful. Be attentive. The eyes open. This is the summons in Advent. Mm-hmm. Remembering that Jesus came and he will come again. And indeed, he comes. He comes. He's with us. He's among us. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. the time is now. The